You're listening to the Advent edition of the Sunday, Sunday, Sunday podcast brought to you by LifeTeen.com, a reflection on the upcoming Sunday Catholic Mass readings. And now your host, the Bible Geek, Mark Hart.
Oh, it's getting close. It is getting close, my family. But Advent is a time of preparation, and Advent, too, is a season. And this week, we're taking a look at the fourth Sunday of Advent. Get something to write on and something to write with. Our first reading comes from Micah, the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Our psalm response from Psalm 80, verses 2 and 3, and then verses 15 to 19. Our second reading, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. And our gospel from St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. You know, I grew up in a big family, and there were a lot of rules, there were a lot of small t traditions that happened in our family, expectations. I remember from the time that I could count, that I could save money, that I had allowance, there were expectations from my father about how that money would be saved, how that money would be accounted for and counted, and where it would be put, and when I put it in the bank. And I remember when getting my first paper route, there were expectations of how I was going to handle the books and handle the money. There were expectations about doing chores. There were expectations about doing the dishes, about doing the yard work, about keeping my room clean. I had to learn how to do my laundry at an early age. And I remember thinking back, and I would talk to some of my friends, they never had to do those things. That pretty much my friends were living in the lap of luxury in the suburbs, and here I was having to do all these chores of self-reliance at a very early age, and I never really understood it. In fact, at times, I was a little bit upset about it. I thought my parents were harder on me than other parents were, maybe unnecessarily hard, and it grew tiresome. But I will say this, that when high school hit and when college hit, and I watched a lot of my friends who were equal in age and maybe even smarter, completely inept in things around the house, completely inept with finance, with cooking, with laundry, and those kinds of things, I grew in deep appreciation for my parents. You see, because they had a plan. They wanted to ensure that I was self-reliant, and they wanted to ensure that I wasn't going to be left helpless or hopeless as I grew older. So at an early age, they started to help me to grow in self-reliance, but they started to help me to grow in maturity. They had a plan. And even though I didn't understand it when I was younger, as I got older, I did, and I grew an appreciation. And my poor children, you know what? They're part of my plan now. And I haven't done the dishes in a year. No, that's not true. I do the dishes every night. But here's the thing. God has a plan. He's had a plan. And during Advent, we've really been trying to celebrate this plan of salvation. What happened in Bethlehem, what happened at the Nativity, was not a reactionary thing on God's part. It wasn't something that just came out of the blue. In fact, on the Feast of Immaculate Conception, we heard the first reading from Genesis 3, and right after the fall happens, God reveals his plan, that he has a plan to save us. This plan is going to involve a Savior coming through a woman. And that plan is revealed, but then over the next thousands of years and through all the prophets, God starts pointing out, and this is how you're going to know this is the one. This is how you're going to know he's the Messiah. This is how you're going to know it's the Savior. In this first reading from Micah, Micah is a relatively unknown prophet, not a very long book. Not a lot of people read Micah, but this is a famous prophecy from chapter 5 of Micah, and it says, "Thus says the Lord, you, Bethlehem, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel." Now, Bethlehem was the hometown of King David, and Bethlehem was also the hometown of Ruth, but this prophecy comes after both of them, and what this is telling us is, hey, out of this tiny little town is going to come forth the one. The one who's going to come forth, and he's going to be the ruler. He's going to be the Lord, and he shall stand firm, and he shall shepherd his flock with strength, and his name will be majestic. This was unheard of. Now, it's really beautiful, and we know this now, is that the word Bethlehem, the name Bethlehem, literally means house of bread. What better place for the bread of life to come from? In the second reading, we hear an incredible and a powerful announcement again. This, I come to do your will, O God. It's not just about the sacrifices and the offerings and the holocausts. It's I come to do your will. And the second reading reminds us again is that God has a plan. God has a will. And we are invited into that. We are invited to do his will. The same way that Mary gave up her spirit in total surrender and said, yes, Lord, may it be done to me, Lord. And in this gospel, we're going to celebrate that. After Mary's interaction with the angel Gabriel, it says she sets out and travels to the hill country in haste, with total urgency, complete passion, and total abandon. After this amazing experience of God, after her yes to God, that I will do your will, God, she travels in haste to do the will of God, to fulfill this part of the plan. God has a plan. God doesn't leave anything to chance, but he does give you plenty of chances to surrender your will to his. God has a plan for your life. God had a plan when he created you. God has a plan every single day to lead you closer to him and to use you to lead others closer to him. And it might not show up on other people's radar. They might not understand the plan. They might not understand how God's using you. You might not understand how God's using you. The people in Bethlehem didn't. But what he's really calling you to is to do his will today. Do his will today. And years from now, maybe hundreds of years from now, people will look back at your life and they might call you a saint. God has a plan. That's the kind of father he is. If I would have learned that lesson earlier, it would have been easier. God doesn't want you to be self-reliant. He wants you to be reliant on him. And you do so by giving up yourself and loving him with all you got. May God bless you this week.
This podcast is brought to you by your friends at lifeteam.com.